Tim McNally. Welcome to the Dine, Wine, and Spirit Show, NOLA Drinks Edition. Here's your host, Brian Diaz.
All right, everybody, Brian Diaz here with you. Welcome to the unofficial start of the weekend here in the Crescent City, friends. Yes, at NOLA Drinks, we're not the fourth secret client of Michael Cohen. Nope, that means our opinions here are uncompromised. Hey, friends, we got a good show coming up for you here today. Some interesting interviews. We're going to kick things off chatting with Aaron Short, who is the manager with Tall Ships of America. Really cool thing going on. The ships are there now. And these are sailing ships that we're talking about, of course, and they are participating. It's an event tied into the Tricentennial here in New Orleans, as well as Navy Week going on. And several sailing ships started to make their way up the river a couple days ago. They're here now, docked in Waldenburg Park. And there's a couple ships also in Lake Pontchartrain. Thanks for the water being high. There's one good thing about the water being high is that we were able to get a couple ships, into the lake. And it's really neat. These beautiful wooden sailing ships out there. And they pulled in earlier today, docked at Waldenburg Park. And then starting tomorrow, there's a little bit of event stuff going on, some private stuff. And then starting tomorrow through Sunday, you can go out and visit the tall ships, walk around, get a tour, interact with the crew. Going to be really, really cool. And then Navy Week stuff's going on out there also. And so part of the mandate of that is the Navy will have ships and boats out there. That you can also tour, and that's free. And of course, that goes on every year. The Navy Week portion does. But it's, you know, a little more special this year because it's our tricentennial 300th birthday of the city of New Orleans. So get on out to Waldenburg Park in the next 3 days. Weather looks pretty good. We might get a little bit of bad weather overnight on Saturday, but tomorrow, for example, is going to be beautiful. I think for the most part, you can tour the ships from about like 12 to 5. I think we cover that with Aaron in the interview, but it's going to be really neat. Beautiful time. Get out there, check it out, celebrate the city. It's free to go do that. They also have, which we talk about, a gala going on Saturday evening in Waldenburg Park that you can attend as well. We cover that too. So that should be a lot of fun. And then from there, we kind of more or less wrap up our French Quarter Festival coverage, which of course went on last weekend. What a great event that was. And yeah, you know, it was 4 full days. We lost one day, as we probably all here anyway know, on Saturday, because it was a washout. We chat with my pal Heather Twitchell, who is the food and beverage manager for French Quarter Festivals Incorporated, of course, the group that puts that spectacular event on, as well as others during the year. And Heather and I interviewed Heather on Sunday, the day after they had to cancel. And, you know, it's a tough decision. We talk about this a little bit. It's a tough decision to have to do that. We have hundreds of thousands of people, basically, in New Orleans for the festival. And to cancel it is difficult. And I know it was a difficult decision. Now, in hindsight, as we discussed, because the rain was torrential all day on Saturday, we know they made the right decision. It was a safety issue. They decided, of course, to not even do the indoor stuff or anything like that, because they felt they consulted. I think we covered this in the interview. But they consulted with Homeland Security and OPD, all that stuff. And they didn't really want to encourage people to come to the French Quarter if they didn't need to, because it could have been dangerous. There were, you know, thunderstorms and lots of water and all kinds of other things. So, you know, it was a bummer that we lost that third day of the festival on Saturday, but it was the right decision. So we talk about that, but we more importantly talk about not only the great music festival that French Quarter Festival is, but we also talk about how Heather in particular is working very hard to elevate it into a world-class food and drink experience, in addition to being a world-class music festival. And I think she is well on her way to succeeding that way. If you've listened to a couple of the previous shows in recent weeks where we've interviewed some of the food vendors that participated in the festival, Heather herself and others, we talked about that a little bit. But I think it was a great success this year. Continues to be, in my view, the finest music festival on the planet. I look forward to next year. This was the 35th annual. Of course, that'll be the 36th annual. Yeah, I can count not much past 36, but that should be pretty good next year, too. It always is. What a great festival. So we talk with her, and then we close things out with another edition of our Soul Skillet segment, which is, of course, where we bring in local musicians to talk about their music and, in some cases, talk about food and drink. We didn't quite get there in this one because we didn't quite have as much time, but we were chatting with Jamal Batiste, who is, of course, of the famous Batiste music family. You will know them if you are into New Orleans music or into music in general. If you are not from the New Orleans area, you probably even know his cousin, John Batiste, who is the band leader for the Stephen Colbert show on the Late Show there. All right, so that's the family we're talking about. Jamal is a fantastic musician, fantastic drummer, and a great guy. We talk a bit about his music, his performances with others, sort of growing up in a musical family, as well his new record as a band leader, and all kinds of cool stuff. And we do that, we tape that segment, as well as the one with Aaron from Tall Ships coming up right here after when we take the break here in a few minutes. That's at our good friend's restaurant, Sylvain, a very fine place in the French Quarter. Always nice. They allow me to record the show there whenever I need to, and it's a beautiful setting. The weather was great, so we were out in the courtyard. Go check them out there at 625 Chartist Street, right by Jackson Square. We make a note of that. Great bar, great restaurant, great people. So that was really cool. And again, circling back, we chat with Jamal there a bit and talk about his music and things like that. And then we'll be back to close out the show with a little bit of news and notes and that sort of thing. I wanted to mention, friends, let's see, this event here coming up on Monday, really great event. It is the 41st, excuse me. See, I told you I can't count past 36. I'm stumbling on 41. 41st Annual Chef's Charity for Children event. It is this Monday afternoon morning through early afternoon from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Again, this Monday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Hilton New Orleans Riverside Hotel, which is located at 2 Poydras Street there in the CBD. And it is a really great event. Obviously, it's been going on for now what will be 41 years. And it is a benefit for St. Michael's Special School, which is a really great program. It caters education and tailors education to children and adults, actually, with special needs. And it's been in existence for quite some time. And this event brings together, it's almost, one maybe argues, one of the original chef-driven event for charity here in New Orleans. We've got a lot of those these days. Don't want to make them sound trite or anything like that, that they're not important or whatever, but they are, you know, a little more commonplace than they used to be. And this one's been going for a long time. They bring together various chefs. And let's see, who do we have? We have, for example, Nina Compton of Compare La Pan, Leah Chase of Dookie Chase. So, you know, very much a generational thing. Some young chefs, of course, Leah Chase, a matriarch of New Orleans culinary scene there. John Foles, Tori McPhail of Commander's Palace, Alone Shaya, and so on and so on. And there's they do cooking demonstrations. You get to eat. You get some wine. I believe the cost is $75 a ticket for basic entry. That gives you a little goodie bag that also includes a cookbook, the samples of each of the food, but you get everybody's doing little bits of food, so you leave full, from what I've been told, and I believe that. I've never had the chance to get to the event. You get a little bit of wine and everything else, and you can also purchase a $250 patron level ticket if you are interested. But really good event. Again, this Monday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., it is the Chef's Charity for Children event, and if you are interested in going and trying to get more information or the like, you can call 504-524-7285. Again, 504-524-7285, or simply visit www.stmichaelsspecialschool.com. Again, www.stmichaelsspecialschool.com. Really good event. So go do check that out. That should be a lot of fun. Also wanted to mention another event coming up. If you were listening to the show, I think 3-4 weeks ago, you will know we do our Two Dummies Food Tour, which is myself, I'm a dummy, and my other good friend, dummy, Adrian Miller, and we make up the Two Dummies Food Tour, and we get together, you know, every couple months, and we go try some food and talk about it, get with the people who are the purveyors of said food, and taste some things. And the last time we did this was out at the Food Truck Rally, which is sponsored by Live Nation and also put on by our good friends at the New Orleans Food Trucks Coalition. It is Food Trucks Coalition. And the next one is actually taking, if you're listening on the radio, taking place tomorrow, Friday, April 20th. Yeah, 420 Food Trucks. All right, you put that together. It goes from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. in Champion Square right there at the Superdome. It's free to attend, of course. They have about 10, 12 food trucks out there serving up great food. The weather looks really good. Go check it out. We had some delicious, delicious stuff last time. Diva Dog, Crepes a la Carte, several others, Quesadilla Company. Also, the Snowballs were out there and some really good stuff. So go check that out tomorrow, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., Champion Square, Food Truck Friday by our good friends, the New Orleans Food Trucks Coalition. Friends, we're going to take a little break here on the NOLA Drink Show, and then we're going to be back chatting with Aaron Short of Tall Ships of America, then right into our French Quarter Festival stuff with Heather Twitchell, and then wrapping things up with our Soul Skillet segment, Jamal Baptiste. So I should really say, then we come back and really wrap things up, but those are our three interviews. We're going to take a little break here on the show, friends. Come on back. Finest girl you ever saw. She does some things against the law. She took my...
Hi, New Orleans. It's Laura from Sobu, and I'm here with Chef Juan Carlos.
Sobu's got happier hour. It's 3 to 6 from 3 to 6.
It's bar bars, sips, and snacks, all for $3 to $6 from 3 to 6 p.m. every day.
Laura's got something to please everyone at the bar for happier hour, all for 3 to 6 here at Sobu.
And we know you'll want to try a smoky pulled pork taco or any of the other delicious snacks on our happier hour menu.
Sobu's happier hour, every day from 3 to 6, 310 Charter Street in the quarter.
Complimentary parking next door at the W Hotel.
Hi, I'm Dickie Brennan, and I'd like to invite you to our new Black Duck Bar located on the second floor of Palace Cafe. Named after the Prohibition's infamous rum runner, the Black Duck features over 120 rums as well as an extensive tequila collection. In addition, acclaimed master French chef Rene Bageau heads up the small plates and charcuterie kitchen. Join us for happy hour Monday through Friday from 4 to 7 p.m. with half-price small plates, local draft beer, and tap wine.
Every afternoon when I wake up, I say a little prayer and drink up.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with you, WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. Hey, friends, thanks for tuning in today. As always, I appreciate it. As you know, or I hope you know if you're listening at the beginning of the show, we are sitting here at one of our favorite spots in town, Sylvain Restaurant, gracious enough to allow us to tape the show. And we've got a great event that actually kicked off today. If you're listening on the radio, all the wonderful Tall Ships are coming in. I'm pleased to be joined by Aaron Short, who is the manager of Tall Ships Challenge. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Brian. Pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. Welcome to New Orleans.
Thank you. It's lovely.
Yeah, it's great. I'm glad you're here. You got the good weather. What did you get here, actually?
I got here yesterday. We drove in from Pensacola. We were just at the Tall Ship event there. So we went from nice weather to nice weather. It was not a hardship.
That's great. And you just, because we had horrible weather on Saturday. The front that we were talking about before that came through Galveston came through here, and we had this really big festival called the French Quarter Festival, and it's 4 days, but Saturday was a complete washout, which was kind of a bummer. Nice. So your timing of arrival on Sunday was great.
Excellent.
So you're with Tall Ships America. Let's talk a little bit about that, because I know people are, maybe if you're here in New Orleans, you're familiar with the event when the Tall Ships get here, but it's a much broader thing. It's not just New Orleans.
Correct. So I am with Tall Ships America. We are a nonprofit membership organization based in Newport, Rhode Island, where it's currently 35 degrees.
Again, welcome to New Orleans, Aaron.
So we, like I said, we are a membership organization. The Tall Ships are our members. We produce a directory of Tall Ships. We do a conference every year, an industry conference every year. We also provide scholarships and grants so people can sail on Tall Ships.
That's really cool. So can you tell people, if they don't know, what is a Tall Ship? I think people probably understand, but just there might be a few of them out there that don't.
Sure. So Tall Ships, actually, they're not all large and they're not all tall. We do have some small tall ships, and really a tall ship is a traditionally rigged vessel. So kind of like what you've
seen sailing ships,
traditional sailing ships, yeah, that you've seen in photos and paintings.
Right. Okay. Right. There you go. And so they're not necessarily era specific, right?
Correct.
Now, many of the ones that do participate, though, are much older boats, right, that have been restored or continue to operate. Is that correct?
We actually have a really great range of tall ships. Some are have been more recently launched, but they are still traditionally rigged, and they have been reconstructed in a traditional, based on a traditional design. We also have, so for example, Oliver Hazard Perry is a full rigged ship out of Newport, Rhode Island. She was launched about 5 years ago. Oh. So she's our newest vessel. On the other spectrum is Elissa, based in Galveston, Texas, and she was launched in 1877, so she's 144 years old.
Wow. Now, is that the oldest one that participates?
That's the oldest one in our fleet.
In your fleet.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, correct.
So now, when you say fleet, too, it's a kind of a collective or cooperative operation, right? Everybody kind of does their own, do they do their own thing throughout the year?
Throughout the year, they all of our tall ships have their own programming. They're all home ported in different places, so they engage with their community there. Some of the ships, for example, Picton Castle is home ported in Nova Scotia, is actually starting on her round the world voyage from New Orleans. So if you have the time, Brian, I do recommend sailing around the world for 14 months. It's a really special experience. And our intern is actually doing that. So when he's done with our internship, he's sailing in Picton Castle around the world.
Oh, fantastic.
I know.
That's great. So, and you mentioned that. So some of the things that you guys do at Tall Ships America are provide internships and connect people with this experience.
Correct. Exactly. And the largest way that we connect people with the Tall Ships is through these events, through these Tall Ships Challenge events. By bringing a fleet of vessels into a port, you can see and talk to all the different crew members. They're all passionate about their programming. They're all passionate about their ship. So they really vary. Some like Picton Castle, Sail Around the World. Some like When and If is based in Key West. So she does sunset sails out of Key West, but you can still sail aboard her. So they really range in programming and education.
Okay, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. Now, are there some international members?
Yep, we have two international vessels, Picton Castle. She's flagged from the Cook Islands, which is in the Pacific. And then we have Oosterschelde, which is based out of the Netherlands. And she's 101 years old. She was launched in 1917.
Wow.
Yes.
So now, in that case, the ship from the Cook Islands or the ship from the Netherlands, do they... They're generally based there, and then they make their way to the States for this time of year?
Exactly. Wow. Exactly. Okay. And they sell space on board, so it's not just one long leg. So, for example, Oosterschelde went from the Netherlands to the Azores to Bermuda to here, and then on her way back, she'll do Bermuda, Canary Islands, and back to Europe.
That makes a lot of sense. You got to pull in a port once in a while, right?
Exactly, exactly, exactly.
Well, so now with the event this year, as it relates, so people have come and you guys have gone from Pensacola. Where'd you start?
We started in Galveston,
Texas.
In
Galveston,
about 2 weeks ago on April 5th, and then the ships left there and sailed to Pensacola, and they were in Pensacola this past weekend. Now they're here in New Orleans. From New Orleans, we have three vessels going up the Atlantic coast, and our last port in the Tall Ships Challenge race series is Philadelphia over Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, I didn't realize that it continues up the East Coast.
It does, yeah.
Interesting. So you guys started in Galveston, went to Pensacola, sort of backtracked this way. Mm-hmm. And as you said, too, we were talking before we started recording that the Mississippi River is a bit of a challenge.
Yes, it is a bit of a challenge. Right now, it's very
high.
Especially right now. It's very high, very fast. And as you know, there's a lot of stuff in the river.
Yes.
So the ships are currently making their way up the river. And I've actually shared some photos of the ships on the river on our Facebook page.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Now, how long does it take to make that coming in off the Gulf and then to get up the river to New Orleans? I mean, I know it varies by weather, of course. Current and so on.
Yep.
But
so it's about 96 miles.
Okay.
The ship started their transit yesterday. So it's going to take them about 2-3 days to get here on time for Thursday about noon.
Okay.
We're hoping.
And that's the plan. And
that's
so
the plan.
People know is that Tuesday at noon, give or take, we're dealing with sailing ships, so you got to be, could be an hour earlier, could be an hour later, maybe a little more, a little less. And so the ships start to arrive, and then dock right here along the Mississippi River, right?
Correct. They're going to be at Waldenburg Park, right by the Audubon Aquarium. So we have four vessels there, Alyssa, Oosterschelde, Picton Castle, and Oliver Hazard Perry. And then we'll have two vessels, When and If, and Lynx, sailing in Lake Pontchartrain.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. And so that's going to be really neat. We're going to, we got some time. So let's continue on that front. So when they come in on Thursday, and if you're in the public, well, this is already kind of happening as this show airs. So the ships are probably there by now when you're hearing this. But then people can come and visit and tour some of the ships, right?
Correct. They can tour and visit the ships at Waldenburg Park. They will be officially open for public boarding at noon on Friday.
Okay.
We do have some group boarding that starts at 10 for school groups. So that's a little bit special.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So that's another thing that you do, also coordinate with schools and give them an educational opportunity at the events.
Exactly. We provide a teacher's guide for them that's centered around tall ships and sailing and maritime history. And we've done that here. It's been very popular. So that gives the teachers an opportunity to kind of tee up this experience for their students, and hopefully they get a lot more out of it. And we encourage them to talk to the crew, to touch, and to just kind of bask in this maritime history.
Sure, absolutely. What a thrill. And I'm sure the crews really like it, right? I mean, that's
they
kind
do.
Of why they're on the boat, to get to interact with kids and inspire some passion in what it is that they do.
Exactly. And they're all passionate about their ships. They will talk forever about their ships. All the ships have a different personality. So if you go on a listen and talk to the crew, I encourage you to talk to the crew on each of the ships. They're all different. All the crew is very different. It's just a wonderful, it's very international experience.
Yeah, that's really, really neat. So the boat ships. I know better. The ships are actually here, and they start to leave on, is it Monday or Tuesday that y'all head out?
Most of the ships leave Monday morning. Picton Castle is preparing for her round-the-world voyage, so she's going to be provisioning and getting some equipment on board in preparation for her next leg. So this leg goes from New Orleans all the way to the Cook Islands. It's about 3.5 months. You go through the Panama Canal.
Sure.
And then Oliver Hazard Perry is picking up some trainees, so she won't leave until Wednesday. But all the other ships will be leaving Monday morning.
Monday morning. Okay, mm-hmm. Great. Well, Aaron, let's do this. Let's take a little break here on the show. We're going to come back, talk a little bit more about the events, how people can connect, with the tall ships. We've got a gala coming up in Waldenburg Park on Saturday evening and all kinds of other good stuff. So, friends, we're chatting here with Aaron Short from Tall Ships Challenge, Tall Ships of America. It's going to be a really neat event. It's happening now. We're going to take a little break here on the show. Come on back.
Market is a place where history is made fresh daily. From the historic Upper Pontalba building on Jackson Square to the ever-evolving Farmers Market, our six-block district celebrates New Orleans food, music, and culture through events, festivals, walking tours, health and fitness classes, and also children's workshops at the New Orleans Jazz Park. Visit our calendar of events at www.frenchmarket.org. The French Market, making history fun since 1791.
Are you looking for the best buns? Well, we have them at Bayou Burger in the Quarter. Wait till you bite into one of our acclaimed burgers like the Cowboy Burger, Tiebreaker Shrimp Burger, the world-famous Gator Burger, or you can build your own with endless combinations. It's all fresh meat, never ever frozen. Everywhere you look, there's big screen TVs where you'll never miss a minute of the action. Boasting the largest balcony dining in the French Quarter, you can watch all the action pass you by on the street. Find the best burgers in action at Bayou Burger. 501 Bourbon at St. Louis for the best buns on bourbon. It's Bayou Burger, baby.
Well, my bucket's got a hole in it. My bucket's got a hole in it. My bucket's got a hole in it. I can't buy no beer. Well, I'm standing on a corner.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with you. Thanks for tuning into the NOLA Drink Show today. I appreciate it, as always. And as you know, we are chatting with Aaron Short, who is the manager for Tall Ships America. And Aaron, you're telling me, so you're based out of Newport, Rhode Island.
Yes, correct.
Yes, okay, got it. How did you get involved with all this?
Oh, gosh. I've been with Tall Ships America for about 12 years now. I grew up sailing in Narragansett Bay.
Okay.
My parents, we always had a boat, and I love being on the water, even though I went to school in Colorado. But I moved back home because, honestly, I missed the ocean too much. So I moved back home and kind of fell into this job a little bit. Just answered an ad, and here we are 12 years later in New Orleans.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes, okay, it's been great. Very fun.
Great. And did you step right into the role that you're in now, or did you start doing something else initially with the organization?
No, I've always been involved with the Tall Ships Challenge. Mm-hmm. and have worked my way up to manager.
All right, there you go. I like it. So we have, as we were talking about a little bit before we started recording, you guys do this every year here, right?
We do it every year. We alternate coasts. So this is actually the very first time we're in the Gulf Coast.
Got it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Next year we'll be in the Great Lakes. Okay. We are on the Atlantic Coast and the Pacific Coast as well. And we alternate years, so we're not doing it.
So then in 4 years, then
correct.
You all will be back here.
Correct.
So think
correct.
About like the Olympic kind of time
exactly.
frame. There we go.
Exactly.
And so if the timing works out great, and I'm sure this was somewhat by design because, of course, this is the tricentennial of the city of New Orleans.
Yes.
So you guys plan that out really, really well.
I wish I could take the credit, but I can't. I'm not that good.
So that's a neat part of bringing all this together. We have Navy Week going on, the Tricentennial, and it's all tying in really nicely.
It is, just beautifully. And the support that we've had from New Orleans has just been overwhelming. Everyone here is so proud of their city, and they could not have been more welcoming. It's been really a pleasure.
That's cool. And we were talking about, when we just took the break now, for example, the River Pilots, that are here are really excited about. I'm sure it breaks up their routine. And as you know, a lot of times these are generational families, right?
Exactly.
On the river. And so they get to kind of mix it up a little bit instead of cargo ships.
Exactly. Yeah. So now they get to be on tall ships enjoying very good coffee on Oosterskeld, from what I understand.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. Very good. And I like how we're keeping it to coffee, because I'm sure after the ship is docked, there are other options, I'm going to guess.
These are sailors. these are sailors. Everyone's very excited for New Orleans. And a lot of them, this is their first time here. So we are encouraging them to get out and enjoy all that New Orleans has to offer, as long as they make it back to the ship.
Yes, we do have a lot to offer before it leaves. That's right. I think probably 300 years of history of this city has something to do with people missing ships and other considerations of what you get yourself involved in on land.
Knock on wood. Let's not give them any ideas.
Right. Yeah, when you said enjoy all that the city has to offer, I'm thinking, okay, with moderation. With moderation. Nobody needs to be seasick and look green when they get back on the ship. So we were talking a bit about some of the events that we have going on. So the school kids stuff sounds fantastic. What a great opportunity. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about the two ships that'll be sailing on Lake Pontchartrain, but if everybody, you already missed the ship if you didn't get tickets to that, because it sold out about 3 weeks ago.
It did, which is a wonderful problem to have.
Sure,
to be
absolutely,
honest.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yep. But when you got, assuming you know, 4 years from now, that's going to be a regular part of the programming.
We hope so. Hopefully, yeah. If the lake levels stay high, if they're too low, obviously we can't go in there with our ships. They draft about 9 feet.
Okay.
So on that lake, that's a problem. So luckily, and unfortunately for you guys, you had a lot of rain, but luckily for the event, the lake is up really high right now, so the ships will be sailing.
Yeah, another added benefit of all the rain and dumping the Mississippi River for the Bonnie Carey
Spillway. Thank you for your sacrifice.
Yes,
I appreciate
absolutely.
It.
We do that here. We do that here. And so then also people, again, can come and tour the ships beginning Friday at noon through
Sunday.
Yeah, late afternoon, right? Something like that, 4 or 5 o'clock?
Sunday at 5.
Great. Now, one of the things that people can also participate in is you guys are doing a gala in Waldenburg Park on Saturday evening.
We are. It's the Tall Ships Tricentennial Gala. It starts at 6:45 and it goes to 10 p.m. So it will be on deck and dockside at Waldenburg Riverfront Park. It is a black tie evening reception on the decks of all four of the visiting tall ships. Dockside, so we'll have music, we'll have drinks by Sailor Jerry Rum, Hudson Bourbon. It'll be catered by Dickie Brennan and Company. Cake has been donated by Sue Cray, which is very nice.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. We'll have a special appearance by the Victory Bells, compliments of the World War II Museum. Yep. And then the evening highlight is an auction of a print of Alex Beard's Tricentennial Tall Ship. Tickets are still available, so they can be purchased. They are $300, and they are available at tallshipsnola2018.com.
Is that $300 a person or $300 a couple?
$300 a person.
Okay,
yep,
gotcha.
$300 a person.
And that's all inclusive of everything in the evening?
Correct.
Food, drink, dance,
food,
music,
drinks,
the
exactly.
whole deal?
Exactly. Then, yes,
okay.
Exactly.
Excellent. So
exactly.
A lot of good partners here in town. You mentioned Dickie Brennan, you mentioned Sue Cray, and others. You mentioned earlier, too, I think when we were taking a break, that the corporate culture here, the business community here, has been very supportive of the event.
It's been absolutely incredible. One of our very first partners was Premium Parking and Hancock Whitney Bank. They've just been absolutely amazing. We have a wonderful PR company, Gamble, who has been absolutely outstanding. And we have so many others. It's overwhelming. If you go to our sponsor page, it's just full of these wonderful local businesses who could not have done more to help bring the tall ships here. And everyone is involved, and it's been awesome.
That's really cool.
It is really cool.
Everybody's very excited, and as we know, we love things like this here in New Orleans, and especially in the Tricentennial. It's just such a wonderful event, and we really want to encourage people to come out, because as we're talking about, it does tie in with Navy Week, and I know you guys aren't directly involved in that, but people can go tour the Navy ships and these things. And we want to note, too, that the tour stuff on the tall ships that you all are doing, that's free for the public to go tour the ships, correct?
Yes, it is free and open to the public. We do have a security component, you know, unfortunately, but we have to. But so you will get screened, but once you're in, it's free and open to the public, so enjoy and just take lots of pictures and share them on Facebook.
There you go. Great. And what hashtag? You got hashtags and stuff organized?
On Facebook, it's Tall Ships NOLA.
Okay.
And on Twitter, it's Tall Ships NOLA 2018.
Got it.
And we're on Instagram as well.
And on the gram.
Yeah, and we're on the gram.
All right, cool. Yep. Very, very good. Very good, Aaron. So let's tell people, too, a little bit about the website and where they can find more information about the organization. Because you mentioned that it's a membership organization. So people can join? Is that?
Yes. Yep. Tall Ships America is a membership organization. We, you know, always happy to have new members. It's tallshipsamerica.org. So that's us. But for the event, it is tallshipsnola2018.com. And there's tons of information there. So I encourage you to go there first and then contact us if you have any questions.
That sounds great. And do you guys do programming year-round, educational programming and things like that?
We do a conference every year, an industry conference every year that was in New Orleans this year, which was very special.
When was that?
It was in February.
Okay.
Yep. And right over Valentine's Day weekend, actually. And it was absolutely lovely. It was all these sailors just could not be more thrilled to be in New Orleans talking about tall ships and enjoying the city, of course. We also do a directory, a member directory that you can purchase through our website, tallshipsamerica.org. And we also have scholarships and grants. So if we have young people who want to sail, you can apply for a scholarship or a grant, and we help offset some of those costs. We also have crew development grants for up-and-coming sailors. We also provide opportunities to sail on board U.S. Coast Guard Eagle. That is a very special relationship we have, and it's just been wonderful so far.
That's really neat. A lot of great stuff that you guys do, Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having
me.
It's been wonderful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, and enjoy your stay. Any plans? Are you going to get any free time here at all?
I really hope so. It's so nice being here. I do really hope I get a chance to actually get off site.
Right. There you go. Get out there. I like that. So we got a lot to offer, as you noted. So let me just make sure that you get out of here when you need to get out of here.
Thank you.
No problem. Friends, that was Aaron Short, who is the manager of Tall Ships America. I do encourage everyone to please come out to Waldenburg Park here this weekend. It's a great chance to see some beautiful ships, interact with the crews, do some really cool things. It's all part of our tricentennial here, of course, in New Orleans. It's going to be really a lot of fun. We're going to take a little break here on the NOLA Drink Show, and when we come back, we're going to be right back. And before I do that, really quickly, I want to thank our good friends here at Sylvain Restaurant, 625 Charter Street. Come check them out. That's where we're taping today. Lovely day here on the courtyard. We're going to take a little break, friends. Come on back. We're going to stay
Hey ladies, are you looking for wine to bring to your next girls' night out? Grab a bottle of Capitello wines and enjoy the taste of fruit from Oregon's Willamette Valley. Capitello has a wide variety of wines to choose from. Sauvignon Blanc, Pinot Noir, dessert wine, and a Brut Sparkling that's a blend of Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. He'll even stop by next time he's in town. So grab the girls, have fun, and enjoy Capitello wine. Cheers.
Locally inspired and nationally recognized, Dickey Brennan Steakhouse is located in the French Quarter. Dickey Brennan Steakhouse serves USDA prime beef, Gulf seafood, and innovative Creole dishes. Come experience why Maxim Magazine and Playboy named it among the nation's top steakhouses. Running short on time? The full menu is available in the bar for quicker and more casual dining. Dickey Brennan's 5 After 5 Happy Hour Special is back. Dickey Brennan Steakhouse is located in the French Quarter at 716 Iberville.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Brian Diaz here with you, WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. Yes, friends, day number 4. We are here at French Quarter Festival. It is a lovely, sunshiny day, beautiful day out here, and what a great festival, 35th annual French Quarter Festival. And I am pleased to be joined by my friend, Heather Twitchell, who is the food and beverage manager for French Quarter Fest. How are you doing, Heather?
I am wonderful. I am so glad to be back out and have all the vendors back out on this gorgeous day. Doing well. Just had a couple snacks. Had the crispy cream bread pudding from Boucherie over at the Mint.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Also had the 12-hour slow roasted roast beef po' boy.
Okay. That sounds pretty good.
It's kind of a little bit of a life changer. You might need a fork because it's super, super juicy. Loved it.
I know you're getting a coffee delivered to you here in a second
because
we got to keep you away from food coma.
Super special and get coffee delivered to me.
You, VIP. There you go. Our good man Stu Barish over here working the door and serving coffee.
Yes. Double duty.
So we
multi-talented.
Yeah, absolutely. There we go. We're asking people to multitask here today, aren't we?
Yes. Yeah, we are. We did a lot this morning after having to shut down or call off yesterday. You know, it's easy to take a festival down quickly, but to get it back up and running is a little different. So we had a lot of our crews come in early. Some things we weren't able to get back up just because of the wind.
Right, with
banners, you know, taking barricades into the streets.
Let me frame this a little bit, Heather, just so people know if they're listening to the podcast elsewhere.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a 4-day festival, and unfortunately, Saturday, day three, it was kind of an easy decision, right? I mean, we got torrential rain yesterday, and it just wasn't going to work out for an outdoor festival.
We did. Our CEO, our operations manager, and the president of our board met with Homeland Security and the National Weather Service on Friday around 3, and then we had essentially a staff meeting in the middle of festival to sit down and decide what was the best action to take. And as a group, we came to the consensus that, you know, safety is number one priority of our festival goers,
sure,
of our sponsors, staff, suppliers, food vendors, musicians. So we decided priority first. We'll deal with everything else as it comes. And Sunday, gorgeous day. Couldn't be happier.
It's a beautiful day. Absolutely. And I think we're seeing a good turnout today. People were
chomping
at the bit to get out here after yesterday.
They are. We had great attendance Thursday, great attendance Friday. I think people were anticipating the rain on Saturday. And then I think people are just, you know, hey, today's gorgeous. We're going to go out, enjoy the sun, and eat and drink all the things we didn't get yesterday.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't blame them.
Why not? We should encourage them. We are encouraging. Heather, just so people know, because I think people are curious, and we were talking about this a little bit yesterday, so you guys make the decision. I don't want to dwell on this too much. But then, like you said, opening it back up, because you had to batten down the hatches yesterday, right, with all
food
vendors in their booths and such?
A lot of food vendors had to take food out.
Right.
Because we weren't able to guarantee electric overnight or through the weather, for safety purposes. Banners, huge stage scrims, huge trussing with our entrance banners and signage, all that had to come down. And then we got some of it back up. And this morning I was like helping somebody climb all over our iced tea booth to get that signage tied down because it was like doing somersaults on the pole. I'm like, oh my gosh, that thing's going to take flight. Because we're on the river primarily for the riverfront stages. And it's windy
out
there.
And the wind's coming hard, right? Yeah.
I'm a little bit nerve-wracking. I'm like zip tying those cardboard garbage cans to barricades. I'm like, okay, we need a trash can here. Zip tie barricade. Trash can here. Zip tie barricade. You'll learn a lot of things.
Little
wire cutters are handy to have, carabiners, and your sunscreen. Good to go.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. And we're talking about, so just for also if people aren't familiar, you know, it's 23 stages and 60 food vendors. Is that right?
Yeah,
we have
over 60 food and beverage booths.
So this isn't just like five folks clustered around in Jackson Square. This is a big thing going on.
A little cotton candy guy somewhere. No, this is, I have over 60 restaurants that I deal with, owners and managers and their own staff. So it was a lot. We have two or three electricians that we contract and work with. So to make sure that they could get back to their product or check their inventory, check their equipment, it's a lot. Super stressful, but I think we handled it really well. Super proud of my team.
Great.
There's a small but mighty staff of 9 that puts on this event. We have a really supportive board of directors. We have sponsors who didn't question us at all for shutting down, which to me is huge. They trust us and support the decisions that we make. So today has been, for as kind of like hurry up and get out there and get it all back together, I think it's gone as smoothly as it possibly could for what we're dealing with, like barricades, lines of barricades being blown around, and all of a sudden we have to send 10 people out there to take all the banners off of them. But I'm proud of us.
That's great.
I think we're some rock stars. That's my opinion.
I could not agree more. And we're seeing now, what we're seeing at the moment is lots and lots of smiling faces on the vendor side and in the musician side and in the attendee side. Everybody's happy.
Everybody's happy. Cold beer, good music, good food, some cocktails.
Yeah.
It's a great mix.
Well, let's talk about that, Heather, a little bit, because one of the things that I know when you were on the show with me a month or so ago, 5 weeks ago, when we were previewing some things, part of your task and what one of your goals is to not only turn this into or have it continue to be the world-class music festival that it is, but also have the food and drink program be world-class as well.
I do. I mean, we are in a city that is an international destination for many things, for music, for art, for food, for architecture, for our history and culture. So to me, it's a no-brainer that such a large festival with so many great chefs and restaurants represented shouldn't get, you know, why shouldn't we have great recognition? We have super talent out there.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity to showcase that.
It is, and we don't charge for it. I really want people to know French Quarter Festival, number one, for you can pick either music or food. I, of course, am going to say I want it to be known for the food, but it could be either music or food, and then the fact that it's free.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
I want the quality of the event to be what people talk about.
Makes sense. And every year that this goes on, you hear more of the conversation from people that are attending and have attended in the past where there is conversation about the food and drink, right? It's not, I'm going to go see this band. I'm going to go get this to eat. And one of the things that you guys did on the app, which I think is really cool, is the food's now fully integrated into the app.
Yes.
So you can hit your favorites that you want to go check out and see your list of where you need to go.
It's great. And I recommend that if you come with a group of people, and find out what you want to eat by sight. We also did this super cool fan. Did you see the menu fan?
No. Oh, that's cool. Okay.
We have to find you a copy of the menu fan. So it's, the fan,
little hand fan that everybody wants to stick.
Fans, yep. But we divided it up by sight, like you would a menu, like entrees, appetizers, desserts. Well, it's, Jackson Square, the Mint, Riverfront, so you can see who has what where.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So I recommend coming with a friend or two, deciding by sight what you want, find your meeting spot, go by, divide, conquer, come back, everybody taste, and then move on to the next site.
I like that plan. That's a great
plan. It's a good plan. I thought about that.
Great. So we're coming in from the food angle, and if you do that, you're also going to find yourself standing in front of some great music.
Absolutely.
Which is cool. And, we were talking about my lovely wife, Sylvia, who's sitting here helping out, as she always does. We just cruise around and get things and share, which is awesome. So it allows us to get a larger smattering of what's out there.
I tell you what, so my super duper intern, love her to pieces, Caitlin and I were at the Mint. She was like, can I try the Krispy Kreme? I'm like, yeah, come on, let's go get some. So that was my breakfast, whatever. This is Krispy Kreme, it's a donut, it's a breakfast material, right? So I had the Krispy Kreme bread pudding, and at first we were going to split it. And then when we got there, I was like, nope, not splitting, getting my own. Sorry. Here's some food tickets. Get yours.
Go get your own. Well, Heather, let's do this. Let's take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and chat a little bit more. Talking about the French Quarter Festival, friends, here, 35th annual. And we got a little bit of a food and drink angle going on. You may think music, we got that. Food and drink, we got that. Take a little break here on the Noel Drink Show. Come on back.
Are you looking for a great place to enjoy great handcrafted and vintage cocktails? Victory is located at 339 Barone Street in the heart of downtown New Orleans. We have a variety of spirits, a talented team of bartenders, and great gourmet small plates. Our mission? To preserve an era when cocktails were made with artistry and pride. Grab your friends and come enjoy the ultimate cocktail experience. Give us a call to book your next private event or go to our website, victorynola.com. See you soon. Cheers.
Hi, Jack Jelenko here, local wine guy, suggesting that great handcrafted Pinot Noir from Oregon doesn't need to be expensive. Consider Yamhill Valley Vineyard Estate Pinot Noir from the oldest family estate in the Willamette Valley of Oregon. It's rich, ripe, wonderfully balanced, and it's only about $20 at your favorite New Orleans wine shop. Yamhill Valley Vineyard. Top quality doesn't need to be expensive if you know what to drink. Ask for it wherever you buy wine. Cheers.
Night before last, I got loaded on a bottle of whiskey. On a bottle of whiskey. Night before last, I got loaded on a bottle of whiskey. On a bottle of whiskey. Though I feel all right.
Tim McNally, welcome to the Dine, Wine, and Spirit Show, NOLA Drinks Edition. Here's your host, Brian Diaz.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with you. Thanks for tuning in today. Yes, friends, we are at the 35th Annual French Quarter Festival, the finest music and food and drink festival on the planet. And
I support that statement.
There you go. Holy. I got you, Heather. We're chatting with my friend Heather Twitchell, who is the food and beverage manager here. And Heather, during the break, we were chatting a little bit about, you know, you mentioned in the previous segment, There are nine of you at French Quarter Festivals Incorporated that, you know, operates year round.
Correct.
And then y'all blow up to 700 people working the show.
We do. So my department, I have an assistant and two interns, and then I have a staff of nine. This year I actually created a new position, the water inventory control manager.
Sweet.
Right? That sounds exotic, doesn't it?
Can you shorten that to like just King Hydration? Is that the nickname?
Right. So we do. Each department ends up with anywhere from 10 to, I think operations has probably, he probably has, I don't know, 20 or 30 people that work with him. But we have a great crew of individuals that come from, I call it our little motley crew, because it is, we have all kinds of characters. I love them to pieces. One of our friends, Kira, is the parking czar, and that her job is to watch all of our parking, make sure people don't take all of our reserved parking spots for logistics and for crew working.
Right.
So we have lots of very like specific individualized roles that these guys fit into. A lot of them have been working with us for years. Some of them are newer, but it's all kind of like word of mouth, like, hey, I worked this gig or this event with this person. They did a really good job. I think you should give them a shot. And then, you know, some are interns that just do a really great job and are we have one guy, Andrew, who is our operations assistant, and he interned with me, I think, 6 or 7 years ago. And he became like a Royal Street stage manager and then like the Royal Street site manager. And you just kind of evolve. It's cool. You can watch like my career. I grew up at French Quarter Fest. I started as an intern 20 years ago and then grew up within the organization. Left a couple times, came back, left, came back, grad school, came back. But it's cool. It's like a very, it's like a family kind of, you
right,
know, with
right.
the fun and the dysfunction. And
you know, I'm a friend of mine who I know you know as well, a musician that is playing the festival. Actually, I think you probably got washed out yesterday, but Paul Sanchez in the Rolling Road Show.
Very cool.
And so it's like a Rolling Road Show, isn't it?
Yeah.
in a lot of ways.
It is. It's, you know, people that you see, it's almost like a little family reunion every year. You see people that you haven't seen all year. That may not necessarily be like in your clique or your group or your squad goals, whatever the on-trend phrase is. I don't know. I'm behind the times, I'm sure.
You lost me at squad goals. I had never heard that one.
But yeah, you have your own, like your crew of people that you see every year. It's fun. I love it.
It's really neat. And you guys bring so much together. There's a lot of moving parts, obviously, with 23 stages and 60-plus food vendors. Operating in the French Quarter, right? You guys have to liaise with the city constantly, I'm guessing.
Yes, oh, my gosh. Sewage and Water Board, Department of Public Works, Fire Department, Police Department, EMS, / Acadian Ambulance, / I think Turo, who sponsors our first aid tents. We work with Homeland Security. They have like a dispatch headquarters channel, something over on Rampart.
Okay.
We have electricians that we work with. We work with Audubon Institute. We work with Louisiana State Museums, Parks and Parkways, Daryl Burger Company for the parking lot that we rent. I mean, it's a lot. And then the 100 whatever plus sponsors, and then the musician sponsors, and then the musicians and the food vendors, and then the 1500 volunteer shifts. I mean, it's
well, that it's many volunteers. So 1500 volunteers.
1500 volunteer shifts. Yes.
Wow. Oh, shifts. Okay, gotcha.
So many. It's a lot of people. I mean, it truly takes a village to make this event happen, and it wouldn't happen without, I know that sounds silly, I sound really stupid right now, but it wouldn't happen without our great supporters, without some of our vendors that have been around forever, or
right,
our supply,
right.
Like our staging company, Jay Gernsbacher with Center Staging. He's been, I don't remember a French Quarter Festival without him. He just does it. He knows it front to back.
A lot of your stage managers are that way. Guys that I've seen out
yeah.
here for years running the same stage.
Yeah.
And it's their zone, right? And
it
because
is.
They know and they do it and they got their thing and they got it down and they handle it.
Yeah. And we have a crew called George's Crew. George Ray has worked every French Quarter Festival and they are the guys that make the event happen. When I was doing operations, the second time I worked here, when George told me that I did a good job, after a festival one year, that's when I knew that I had done well.
You had arrived.
That's when I was like, okay, I got this.
That's
George
awesome.
Said I did good. I'm all right.
Well, Heather, do me a favor, because we've got about 3 or so minutes left here.
Sure.
Obviously, this is airing after French Quarter Festival, so
yeah.
we want to encourage people to come to the 36th annual French Quarter Festival
Absolutely.
Next year.
Come on
but
out.
You got some other stuff on the calendar coming up that you do, right?
We do. We
August.
Have Satchmo Summerfest
yep.
on the way.
Right around
Hopefully
the corner.
It won't rain again.
I didn't want to bring that up this early.
Weather people, the weather gods, or whoever I need to talk to around here. No rain, please. We did that already. We have Satchmo Summerfest coming up. I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully, it'll be the same food vendors as last year. I loved them. They were great. I actually brought the Company Burger and Cafe Dauphine from Satchmo. They're both out here at French Quarter Fest this year.
For the first time, yeah, right, okay.
Satchmo's a really great avenue to kind of try out new food vendors, to get them sort of used to how we operate, and just, you know, I can kind of see how they operate, their equipment, their staff, their food, their rapport with fest goers. And it gives me a really good reading as far as like how I think they'll deliver or where they would best deliver at French Quarter Fest.
Makes a lot of sense. And
yeah.
are you guys doing, so that's at the U.S. Mint and now the mm-hmm. Jazz Museum.
Yes.
Are you guys going to do, is it going to stay at the Mint, just the two stages there? Is that the plan this year?
As far as I know.
Okay.
Unless somebody changed some without telling me.
Okay, gotcha. I just wanted to make sure.
We talked about going to Armstrong Park for years, and I think it's just price and logistics at this point.
Gotcha.
We have to grow it a little bit more.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. And I hate to talk about the next thing while we're still in the middle of this thing, because we want you to get some rest after today is over,
I do want to get some rest. That would be lovely. Y'all, my ankles hurt. How do ankles hurt? I don't even know.
Lots of walking, right? Lots
yeah.
of covering ground, making sure food vendors are doing what they're supposed to do.
I need a Fitbit. I'm sure I've done... more than my 10,000 steps for the day.
Oh, no, that's a great idea for a sponsor next year, is get like Fitbit or one of those folks and make sure every volunteer and every crew person has one, and then winner gets a prize.
Yeah. Like a nap. Yeah.
Like a nap, right? Like a,
or a massage.
Right, exactly.
Some foot rub.
Some free food and beer at Satchmo Fest, maybe. Well, that's great. And do me a favor, Heather, tell people where they can find French Quarter Festivals Incorporated online and all that stuff.
FrenchQuarterFestival.org, or you can check out our Instagram.
The gram.
At FQFest. Our hashtag for this year is FQFest18. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where we're at. We're on Facebook, French Quarter Fest, or French Quarter Festivals, Inc. There's a couple, like, bootleg pages, so hopefully you'll find the right one.
Okay, I kind of noticed that. Yeah. I think I whittled it down to who was the official. Took me a second, but that's cool. Yeah. And so we got 45 seconds left. Tell me, okay, a couple things. What do I need to go eat after we finish taping here today?
You need to go get some char-grilled oysters
and
Jack's Lot from Royal House and get the deep-fried seafood stuffed bell peppers from Café Dauphine up on the river.
Okay.
And get the bubbly Eat Fit Seabreeze cocktail.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe hit up the beer garden. Holler at the Mint.
Okay. That sounds good, because we're going to end our day there. Heather, thanks so much for taking some time.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate it.
Of course.
Really
of course. Do. We'll regroup next week or a week after you get some rest.
Yeah.
That'll be great. Friends, we're going to take a little break here on the NOLA Drink Show. We're here at the French Quarter Festival, 35th annual version of the finest festival in the on the planet. In the world and on the planet. Prepositions causing me problems here on a Sunday. We're going to take a little break here on the show, friends. Come on back.
Don't get no more salty than Barataria Bay. 100 years, my family's done it this way.
Looking for a bottle of wine to impress your friends and family? Miro Cellars from California's Russian River Valley is the perfect wine for any occasion. Miro Cellars searches the region for the finest grapes to make their one-of-a-kind specialty wines. Award-winning winemaker Miro Chelikov considers the particular geology and seasonal climate of each vineyard when selecting the most interesting grapes the region has to offer. Because Miro has complete freedom to make precisely the wines he loves best, the results are spectacular. Let yourself in on one of the best-kept secrets in wine today, Miro Cellars.
Looking to shake things up or find the bartender in you? We mean literally. At the New Orleans Drink Lab, you'll do just that. We teach you the history and tradition of classic New Orleans cocktails. Then you get behind the bar and make them. Master classes are fun, interactive, and hands-on. Great for small groups and team building. Come enjoy the ultimate cocktail experience. You mix, muddle, and master the art of cocktail making. Visit us at 343 Barone Street. Or go to our website, drinklabnola.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with you, WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land. Wherever you may be, thanks for tuning in, friends. Yes, indeed. Hey, we are hot on the heels of French Quarter Festival, 35th annual that just went on. And hey, I'm pleased to be joined by drummer Jamal Batiste. Welcome.
Hey, man. Glad to be here, man. How you doing today?
I'm doing really good, Jamal. Thanks. I appreciate it. Thanks for taking some time. You and I were meant to get together over the weekend, and then we had some rain, and you had a few gigs, and that kind of got upended. So here we are at Sylvain on a Tuesday. So thanks for taking some time out.
Oh, man. No problem, man. Glad to be here, man. It's a beautiful weather, man. So
yeah.
Awesome.
A little better than Saturday over
at
French Quarter Festival.
Yeah, Saturday. Yeah, yeah. A little rain, a little cleansing on the earth, you know. So, but now it's pretty good, though, man. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, weather seems to be just right. Right.
Yeah, well, that's perfect. Mm-hmm. So, we caught your gig. So, you played a handful of gigs over the weekend at the festival, but let's start with yours, because you were great, man. You played at the Jack's Brewery stage, at the Jack Daniel's stage.
Yes.
With your band.
Yes, that's correct. That's correct. Yes, it was, like, really, really big, man. Very exciting. And you know, the orchestra that we had, you know, the band, we came together collectively. And our idea was really just that we wanted to bring something very youthful but yet still pay homage to like the, you know, the traditional music. And from those that, you know, that came before us and that, though. So, but through it all, though, in doing that, we also wanted to give, like, you know, a positive message, you know what I'm saying? A genuine, you know, message to the people of encouragement,
yeah.
You know, to help and heal and that. So anybody, you know, it sounds like a cliche, but anybody can just entertain people. Like you got millions and tons of entertainers. But for those that actually have some substance that can, you know, really touch people in a way to where whatever, you know, discomfort or uncomfortable situations, just bad things that happen to them.
Sure.
That, you know, we want to let them know that, hey, you know what I'm saying, it's not over. You got to hang in there, stay in the fight, and that is going to be worth it in the long run. So, yeah, and all the people was all rocked up, and we was, you know what I'm saying, ready to go. You dig? So,
man, you had the crowd going, and you guys handed out some purple handkerchiefs and got a little second line going.
Yeah. That was great, man. We saw that. Like, now, I saw a little bit, you know, when you're performing, like, you kind of, you know, the music and everything, though. But looking back at it, we actually have some video footage that's out there, and more will be circulating on social media.
Yeah.
That way, it was tons more people that was, you know, with the second line with the handkerchiefs. It's like, whoa, this is you know, looking back at it, like, this is a lot of people that was getting down with the second line with
people
the handkerchiefs.
Were digging it, man.
Yeah.
Digging it. You know, you mentioned I got some photos and I got a couple of video clips that I just haven't gone through yet. So I'll add to that basket of imagery from that part of the gig, man.
Oh man, awesome. Yeah, cool, man. But it was great though. The weather once again was like it was just right. Weather was just right, and people all ages, you know, just, you know, from different cultures, like everybody had a really good time. So, and when we see the people having a great time, that lets us know, okay, we're doing our part.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like there is really something deep to what we're doing with the message that we're giving to people.
Connecting
and
with
that.
People.
So, yeah.
Well,
so,
Jamal, let's talk about this because you mentioned paying homage to the past and the folks that came before you. And for people who don't know, you have quite a legacy with your family being involved with music here in New Orleans. That goes back a long time.
Ooh, man, it goes way back, man. This is how far it goes back. It goes back as far as with my father, David Batiste, when he started his group, David Batiste and the Gladiators. Yeah. Like, from what I was told, like, everything jumped off from there. And then you have, like, the family band, the Batiste Brothers band, that's taking place as well. You know what I'm saying? Some of the same members from my dad's band, of course, that happened. And then now we have the new project that's happening today entitled Batiste Fathers and Sons.
Okay, and I didn't know that part.
So that's like a new family band together, but, you know what I'm saying, with my father and us brothers and that. So it kind of like, you know, as the time went by, you know, just kind of, you could just say like a reinvention and that, though. And
keeping it generational. Yeah, keeping family connected.
And I think that's gonna be with us until we're called to go home. You know what I'm saying? Where it's gonna be
right.
It's gonna be definitely like the family band, like that's gonna keep happening for generations to come.
People keep playing music and having kids, right?
Yes, yeah, basically that's how it normally works. So yeah. And Dad had a lot of us, so
right. I always hate to ask this question, but I think for also listeners who don't know, How would you describe the influence? I never like to ask people what kind of music they play, but how would you describe the influences on your music?
Oh man, really? I tell a lot of people this, man. Like my biggest influence on what I'm doing, like what people are hearing today and even seeing, is from my big brother Russell Batiste. And picture, like, I just got through doing a rehearsal with him earlier today before coming here. So, but anybody, like, you go check him out, search him, you know, Google search him online, whatever. And that, man, and he's done tons of works that I've never, you know, heard of. So, and it goes from whether he worked with the Meters or worked with Vital Blue and you know being signed to a major label and you know everything, man, and being heard all across, you know, all around the world and that. So really, it really started off like with my brother Russell. Like I was 3 years old, 3 or 4 years old, and I watched him set up his drum kit.
He's a ways older than you, right?
Yeah. Like my oldest brother. Yeah, I watched him set up as a kid. I watched him set up a drum kit, and to me, it was like an architect. Like folks put buildings together, the studs and everything. Like that's how it looked to me. Like he looked amazed, you know, amazing. It's so awesome. And soon as he got off the drums, and I watched him, you know what I'm saying, moving his hands fast, you know, playing with the sticks, moving fast and everything. I got on there, and then I was hooked. That was it. So Russell Batiste is like, I tell people, like, a lot of what I'm doing, it's like I get it from my brother, Russell Batiste.
And did he did he sit you down and teach you some, or was it
yes,
a lot of,
okay, yes, yeah. yes. Believe it or not, like as I started getting to more, I guess my teenage years, he actually helped me with like just the basic rudiments to play. Like so I did some marching band,
okay.
And I played the snare drum. So like the basic rudiments that I learned, like I really got it from him to like to understand the concept. And then of course, you know, exploring more and more, you know, the more difficult or challenging rudiments, they would say, mm-hmm. in that domain. But yeah, but the rudiments, though, that's what my brother Russell Baptiste, he got me straight on that. Like just the basics, okay. like rudiments, to where it helped me even to this day. So
now, when you were in marching band, did you go to high school marching band around here and music program in school?
Well, yeah. So I marched at Destrehan High School. You know what I'm saying? Like just a couple of minutes outside of New Orleans, you know, on the outskirts, though. But that's why I went there to do the marching band and also play in the concert and symphonic band. Okay. So the whole classical started to get there. And like as I was doing that, I didn't quite understand, like, as far as what the teacher was teaching, but I knew the instructions that, you know, I knew how to, you know, to follow instructions, though. But I didn't know, like, there was a little bit more behind it until I got to the University of New Orleans. And that's where I got my bachelor's degree from there in jazz studies.
Okay, gotcha. Great program.
And from there, like, you know, pretty much putting the whole marching band and then classical symphonic, and then now you have the jazz, like traditional jazz, mm-hmm. and then even more classical, because I took up, you know, just basic, you know, basic piano and, you know, studying like the classical styles of it. And then, of course, the basic jazz styles, like all of it mashed in together to like to where like, OK, so everything I've been doing as far as playing by ear and learning how to write sheet music and reading it, it's like, OK, so this is how this all happened.
There you go.
That's how it all makes sense.
Right.
And that, though, man.
And I'm going to guess throw in a good dose of New Orleans funk and R&B from your brother and stuff like that.
Definitely. I mean, one of the songs that from my father entitled Funky Soul probably was like one of the first like funk, like New Orleans funk songs that I heard like as a kid.
Sure.
And that, though. Okay. And like, so, yeah, like that was one of the first. And just the whole drive and the groove in the pocket, and just like it was just kicking hard. You know what I'm saying? I mean, anybody that wants to, you know, David Baptiste Funky Soul, you can go, definitely. It's all online.
You can find that on.
Yeah. So that was like it kicked off from there. And then watching my brother Russell play it, like live when they would do it live, mm-hmm. and that it was something. It was something. It was definitely, it had a big sound. The pocket, the groove was there, and just everybody like of all walks of life was moving to it. And then my father had like a dance routine that everybody can do. So once again, everything that my dad and my brothers, you know, like they pretty much just say they laid the foundation to where I'm able to do what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
And that, man. So, yeah, yeah. So yeah, it's something, man. Yeah, yeah.
That's cool. Jamal, let's do this, man. Can you stick around for a second?
Oh, yeah,
we're
sure.
We're going to take a little break here on the show, friends. We're chatting with New Orleans drummer extraordinaire Jamal Baptiste. We're going to talk a little bit more about, he's got a new record out, friends. We're going to talk about where you can see him. And we'll probably talk about what he likes to eat and drink, because that's somewhat what we do on this show. We're going to take a little break here, friends. Come on back.
Hi. This is Kevin Richards with New Orleans' own Sazerac Company, makers of Sazerac Rye Whiskey. In case you haven't noticed, rye whiskey is hot, flying off store shelves and dominating the bar scene in New Orleans and around the country. Rye's spicy and assertive character is drawing in those looking for whiskey with a bite, but that equally pairs well with cocktails. Enjoy it in cocktails like the Old Fashioned or Manhattan, or simply savor it on the rocks. Sazerac Rye Whiskey, the way New Orleans does whiskey.
Hey, New Orleans, Jack Jelenko here, local wine guy. If you're listening to this show, you love good food and good wine. And a great wine with our plentiful fresh Gulf seafood is the Domaine St. Rose Coquille Blanc, a crisp, balanced white blend from the south of France. Whether it's with fresh oysters, crab, redfish, or shrimp, this Domaine St. Rose Coquille Blanc will not disappoint. And it's a great value at around $14. Domaine St. Rose Coquille Blanc. Cheers!
All All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with you. Hey, we are here at Sylvain Restaurant. I want to give them another shout-out. Thanks to them for hosting us here today. 625 Charter Street here in the French Quarter, right by Jackson Square. Great bar, great restaurant, and I appreciate them hosting us. We're sitting out here on the lovely courtyard, chatting with a drummer, New Orleans musician extraordinaire, as I said before, Jamal Batiste. Thanks for taking some time out, man.
Oh, man, no problem, man. Thanks for having me, man. So, yeah, this is the spot, man. Sylvain, man.
Yeah, it's a good place. It's a good place. I'm glad we got to make this work, and as we were talking about during French Quarter Festival, got a chance to catch your gig with your project,
yes.
And it was great, man. Did you have a couple family members playing with you also?
Yeah. Believe it or not, I had the two rappers and lyricists.
Yeah.
I had my youngest brother Ryan Batiste, who graduated from Dillon University. So, and then I had my cousin who's like my big brother as well, Michael Batiste, and he's the oldest brother of John Batiste that's on this late show with Stephen Colbert.
Yeah, he's got a pretty good gig, doesn't he?
Yeah. So John Batiste, like, you know what I'm saying, shout out to John, man. And Stay Human, like, they're doing well. So,
yeah.
But Michael, that's his oldest brother. So us three, like, just been going at it, and you know, saying, coming together. Like I said, the younger generation of the Batiste family, and to keep the legacy going.
That's cool, and bringing in some new musical influences, right? So you got
yes.
all the stuff that we talked about that you're rooted in,
mm-hmm.
but you mentioned that you had a couple guys that were rapping.
Yes.
And bringing some hip hop angle into this and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah. So picture like now, like our aim to, like, that we want, you know, we was bringing to the people simply was just like just rock and hip hop. You know, it's just sonically, and you think about it, like, rock is actually known in New Orleans, you know, and as well as hip hop, you know.
Yep.
So I've been informed that, you know, when it came to like just the rock music, like, it, you know, it jumped off from here as well, though. Like, I'm thinking, like, you know, overseas, and that where you know rock is definitely, you know, known for, from traditional and even modern, but New Orleans had rock, you know, down here as well. So
some would argue this is the place where it really started.
Yeah,
as
you know,
well,
what I'm
as
saying.
Jazz music. Yeah,
exactly. So it's like, okay, and when someone told me that, okay, all right, that's pretty cool. Okay, and then of course, you know what I'm saying, like, you have the rap and hip hop, and obviously, you know, that has like many sub genres and that, though. So so we figured like to put it together. These artists in particular that did it pretty good was, say, like the collaborations with Imagine Dragon and Kendrick Lamar.
Okay. Yeah.
Like that collaboration, like, in my opinion, was really, really, really awesome.
Yeah,
And then another one with Linkin Park and Jay-Z,
yep,
was like another just killing collaboration. And if you want to go even further back, the whole Aerosmith and Run DMC. Yeah,
yep.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So that whole thing with the, like, the rock and hip hop and rap, like, mashed together, it's like, you know what? That would be something different for us, like, to do. So me and Ryan and Michael, along with the musicians and the other artists that we had with us, you know, Fire the Phenom, that was the other rapper and lyricist, and then also Bailey Floyd, that was the singer that came on. It's like, why don't we go ahead and put this together, like, for the people to introduce to them, and that something really fresh and new, and that, and but yet they can still hear, like, the traditional, like, New Orleans music, you know, influences that's, you know, that they're, you know, that they're known to hearing. So it's kind of like you're not only just reaching out, you know, to our youth and young adults, but you're also still, you know what I'm saying, reaching out to our elders, and, like, you know, the people that laid the foundation for us as well. So,
yeah,
like, everybody
yeah, yeah.
can get yeah. into it. So
I think it was great, man, because, and I think we know, and I think you would agree with this, that, you know, music is always in development. In New Orleans, it's never been a stagnant thing. And
yes.
sure, we have people that are great traditional jazz players that kind of
mm-hmm.
stick with that genre, and that's a really important thing to do.
Yes.
But it bringing in new influences, bringing in sounds that are coming from different genres, other parts of the world, that's always been the process here.
Yes,
it should
yes.
be, right?
I mean, yeah, definitely. I mean, like New Orleans, you'd be surprised that just New Orleans music, just in general, is all in the commercial market of music and film.
Yeah,
someone hit me to that, and I did my own research. And I'm like, wow, you know, I didn't know, you know, such and such sampled this song, and it's from a New Orleans group.
Tons of that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, so
yeah.
and then in films, the music that's playing in the background, it's like, this is from a New Orleans group of New Orleans artists. I'm like, wait a minute, so okay, so New Orleans is actually much bigger than where we at right now. Yeah. So, and definitely, you know, we all saw that definitely, you know, with the festival, like the French Quarter Festival, where you got people from all over the world, like literally from the globe, to come down here. You know what I'm saying, for this particular festival. So I mean, it's amazing.
And tell me, Jamal, about that experience playing, because the French Quarter Festival, if people that are listening, say on the podcast elsewhere, don't know, it's any given time, there's one festival in San Francisco that's about as big, but it's the largest or the second largest free music festival in the country. Certainly the largest showcase of Louisiana music in the country. And I know, you know, you come from a very well-established family and your career is very well-established in its own right, but it's still got to be a thrill and an honor to play a festival like that.
Oh, man, French Quarter Festival, wow. Just, like, it's something, because I guess, like, over time where, you know, I guess with technology, basically, and, you know, things being upgraded, whatever, and that, the technological. But just in general, man, it's just something about, you know, the people. Like, when coming there, and it, like I said, people just from the globe, like from all over the world, and then being from here, and you're sharing, like, your, you know what I'm saying, your rich history and roots and gems of music from New Orleans to share with them, man, and to see their reaction, positive reaction, you know, how they feel, man, like just on the inside, man, it's something, man. So. And and you see, you know, families come through here. So, like, you got, you know, the wife and kids, you know, like, just everybody, like, it's really for, you know, just an event that everybody can come through and really enjoy. And you get, like, a variety of music and that, from traditional and to modern and contemporary and that, though. But through it all, though, like, everybody really, you know, having a good time and, you know, and just, you know, enjoying themselves.
Absolutely.
In that. So,
great music, great food, great drink, the whole thing.
Yes.
So, now, you had a chance to, so you played, as we're talking about, with your own group.
Yes.
But you played with the great Bill Summers during the festival.
Yes, that's right.
That's
got
to be cool.
Oh, man. Yeah. Bill Summers, everybody knows Bill Summers. If you want to do your research, go search him on Google as well, because he's responsible with working with Herbie Hancock with the group The Headhunters. Yes. He's like, he has a lot to do with, like, with the signature sound. Like, he still does the song where he has the with the bottle that he does with
I'm just drawing a blank. I know exactly what
you're talking about. So, like, and I remember when he first did it, and then when I had, you know, once again did my homework on him, and at the time that he was with the Headhunters, it's like, damn, you know, this is it's Bill Summers that's doing this melody on here. So and like, now to actually play with him, you know, because he's done tons of works, you know, that I'm still trying to fathom, you know, from on the recording sessions and even in film, you know. So so that was something, man. So but it's always great to play with him, man. Like, just, you know, really, really cool brother, man, and, you know, a great musician, you know, entrepreneur, philanthropist, man, a teacher.
Yeah.
You know, so, but it's definitely, you know, it's always amazing, I'm saying, great to play with a man. So
that's really cool, man.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about your record, man. So tell us, you got a new record out?
Yes. My new EP that I have is entitled All Rocked Up. And like I say, it's a mashup genres of basically rock and hip hop. And, you know, the content of it is, you know, it's all clean lyrics, you know what I'm saying? Very inspirational, storytelling. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, obviously you're addressing the problem, but also you get into the solution. You know what I'm saying? We always talk about the problem. And that stuff. So, but, you know, but where's the, you know, the action to take to get to the solution? So that's where, like the whole concept, the lyrical concept of this particular EP, All Rocked Up. And it is available for those that's listening. It is available. If you'd like to stream and download the music, it's all over in any of the download and streaming sites or whatever. Well,
here's what we're doing on the show too. For people that are listening, we're going to, on some of the intro and outro to the breaks here, we're going to spin some of that. So
people hear
a little sample of it. But, and you can get it at I always like to give my friends at Louisiana Music Factory
plug there,
421 Frenchman Street.
Oh, yeah.
You can get it there. Now, are you going to, you got some gigs coming up? Are you going to be touring to support the EP?
Yeah, so next couple of gigs that's going to be coming up, believe it or not, it's actually going to be Jazz Fest. So I'm going to be out there the first weekend and the second weekend as well. So
cool. So playing with your band and then playing with others? Or?
So I'll be playing with the family band.
Okay.
Batiste Father and Sons, and then also I'll be playing with other groups as well. Topsy Chapman, Silent Harmony, and then also Nigel Kojo. And that. So once again, still like the modern but also traditional New Orleans music that I'm gonna be doing, and that and they have some other things that's on the table, and that but I, you know, I would encourage folks like just to go to my website, www.jamallpro.com. That's JAMALLPRO.com. And I have like all my updates and everything that's there and that, because stuff, you know, tends to come out of nowhere. Right. So trying to, you know what I'm saying, just get everything together. And that, though, from our project and working with other folks as well, man. And just really, you know, just want to keep the music going.
Sure, man. Are you on Facebook and Instagram and all
Yes. For Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, the name is Jamall Pro, JAMALLPRO. It's all one word, Jamall Pro. And that, and then you could just search me on YouTube. I have a YouTube channel.
Okay, cool.
To where, you know, for the YouTube watchers, you know what I'm saying, you can subscribe there, www.youtube.com/JamAllStars. But feel free just to type in the search Jamall Baptiste, and you can find my channel there as well. So
great.
Yes.
Yeah, and friends, be sure you check out Jamal's music. It's fantastic. Be sure that you are familiar not only with Jamal, but with his great family. It's one of the great music families here in New Orleans. It speaks New Orleans to me.
Yes,
as your music
yes.
does, and you're carrying on that legacy.
Oh, definitely.
It was
thank
great
you, man.
To hear you on Sunday. Absolutely, man. It was a pleasure to have you on the show.
Man, thank you,
man. We'll do it again soon, man.
Definitely got to, man.
Keep me posted on what's going on, man.
Definitely, we'll do.
All right, friends, we're going to take a little break here on the show, and hey, come on back.
With great power comes great responsibility. Drop him off.
To teach them how to make a profit. Now it's the lack of options is what got me upset. We show them how to blow dough, but not how to invest. We teach them about the struggle, the drama, and the stress. But we all know they learn.
Are you tired of drinking the same wines? Switch it up. Try the Kreutz Family Cellars wine. Kreutz Family Cellars is a small, family-owned winery in Sonoma County that makes wines from some of the most prized vineyards throughout Northern California. Each bottle of Kreutz Family Cellars wines has a magnolia on the label. The magnolia is a symbol of the family's southern roots and their way of life. True, honest, and fun. Look for the magnolia and pick up a bottle of Kreutz Family Cellars wines today.
Time for lunch? We've got you covered at Sobu.
Chef Juan Carlos whipped up special two-course lunches that start at $14.
Try our Creole Cuban sandwich and pair it with a bowl of our gumbo.
Of course, Sobu's full menu is also available.
And don't forget Sobu's version of Commander's Palace 25-cent martinis.
Available Monday through Friday, 11:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m.
Join us at Sobu for our speedy lunch at 310 Charter Street in the Quarter.
Complimentary parking next door at the W Hotel.
Sobu, life is meant to be lived, not endured.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Brian Diaz here with you, WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land wherever you may be. Thanks, friends, for tuning in to another installment here of the Nola Drinks Show today. I very much appreciate it. Special shout out, as always, to the podcast listeners out there. Haven't done this in a while. Our good friends in Japan, good listenership out that direction. So if you're listening way out across the Pacific, I appreciate it. And anywhere you're listening to the show, I appreciate it. Hey, please tell a friend what we do here. And you can check us out on social media, as always, at Nola Drinks on Facebook and Instagram, at Nola Drinks 1. On Twitter, the number one there. Yeah, somebody's cyber squatting on the one without the one, something like that. Yeah, so friends, I hope you enjoyed the interviews that we had here today. It was interesting as we do our Soul Skillet segment, which we just wrapped up there with Jamall Baptiste, as you heard. Often, you know, we have musicians on, as you know, as part of that regular segment. But, you know, we usually also touch on a food and drink note. We didn't really get a chance to this time, as we only had time for a couple segments. As we mentioned in the interview, I was meant to go with Jamal during French Quarter Festival, but due to the weather and the various gigs and stuff that he had, we couldn't quite make it work. So we taped that on Tuesday at our good friend's place at Sylvain. And we were talking a little bit during one of the breaks. So I'm going to bring this back to a little bit of food here during the break, is that, you know, to keep up with the demands of recording and touring and everything else that he does, Jamal's been eating very healthy lately, as he said. So he grew up, you know, as part of he is in the Baptiste family. And also, you know, he grew up eating a lot of, you know, traditional New Orleans fare, we'll call it, you know, gumbo and red beans and rice and things. And we were talking about that, and people in his family that prepared that food, and what he's doing is kind of going for a healthier version. So then not frying stuff really so much. Chicken gumbo without the andouille. I don't think I could give up the andouille. But that was a little bit of our food conversation. And again, we didn't quite get there in the segment. So, hey, just bringing that back a little bit to what this show is supposed to be about. But as we know here in New Orleans, food, drink, music, art, architecture, the whole thing. It's, as I like to say, a big old tapestry here, and you can't separate that stuff out. So thanks to Jamal for taking some time to talk to us. Very much appreciated. Friends, also thanks to Heather Twitchell for being here, French Quarter Festival. They were very, very gracious to me the entire festival and leading up to it, arranging interviews and all kinds of other good stuff. Had great access. We'll be posting some more photos here in the coming days of some of the acts and other things that we encountered during French Quarter Festival. And of course, also thanks to Aaron Short from Tall Ships America. Go check that out, friends. I know I keep saying that, but I'm going to be out there tomorrow if you're listening on the radio on Friday. I wouldn't miss that for the world. I love sailing ships. Used to be a dive instructor, and I spent a lot of time in and on and around the ocean. And yeah, you know, seeing these ships is a real thrill to me. Can't wait to go talk to some of the crews, check some of that stuff out. So we'll be out there on Friday, but you can get out there. You know, don't come see me. Go see the ships. But Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And, you know, do check out tallshipsnola2018.com for more information. Friends, a couple little bits and bobs here in news in the world of food and drink. A guy did a study recently looking at the potential threat of climate change, which is a real thing. There is a, when I say potential threat, when I mean what it may do to the wine, we do have climate change. If you're a denier, I'm sorry, you're crazy. But what climate change may mean to the wines of Bordeaux, trying to project out to 2015 and what that might look like. And what the guy did is he took Cabernet and Merlot grapes and he grew them, you know, so we're looking at Bordeaux, right? And he grew them in more southern climates. So in the Languedoc, Roussillon, and in Tunisia, actually, across the Mediterranean there, and grew these grapes to see kind of what he ended up with. And he did a 50-50 blend. And some of the things that he noticed were that the, you know, is he notes that sometimes when they have an Indian summer in France, that the vintages tend to be a little bit better. So maybe some of the consequences were okay in the short term, but more extreme climates, they never produce good wine in the study. As you know, it's the guy's name is, he's a winemaker and enologist. His name is Pascal Chatenay. And what he discovered was that potentially these wines could end up being pretty supple, but syrupy. And also, and I'm quoting here, that was a very ripe fruit, almost jam-like. So probably more of a New World style, which we've already got enough of that kind of stuff going on. I found this interesting that the alcohol content was likely to fall from the typical 14 to 15% to 13.5%. More ripening, but quicker ripening, so they don't get quite, they don't go as far. You don't get that balance that you need with acid and everything else, possibly. And that the, you know, the acceleration maybe also means because of the other considerations in what manifests in the wine that they're not going to be quite as age-worthy as wines would be from Bordeaux. So the jury still remains out on that. Of course, we see other things with climate change going on where more and more wine growing is happening in the southern part of the UK, sparkling and things like that. So, hey, we'll keep you posted as more people do studies. But interesting little note there. We'll see what happens really in reality. Also, here's some weird food stuff. Bull City Burger and Brewery in Durham, North Carolina, they do an exotic meat month every April. Past exotic meat months have included things like iguana, alligator, camels, python, turtle, some of those, hey, you know, like, for example, alligator, turtle, we're no strangers to that here, and various insects. But what they're doing this time around is they are making a tarantula burger. Yes, with a tarantula. And what they do is they do an oven-roasted tarantula, and they put it on a burger, and you get it with fries and all that stuff. It sells for $27, $28. Now, here's the thing. You would think, who's going to really want that? And if I go in and order it, I should get it? No, it does not quite work that way exactly. You actually have to enter a raffle. So if you enter a raffle, and I think you call the restaurant or you can maybe do this online, and if your number is selected, you have 2 days to get back in touch with the restaurant and set up a reservation to come in and actually eat this burger. Now, if you eat the whole burger, you get a t-shirt. Great. And a social media shout out. Wow. I would rather be a loser in this competition than a winner. But yeah, there you go. So you don't even necessarily get to go do it if you want to. You actually have to be a raffle winner to eat a tarantula on a hamburger. Go figure. There's one dude who's actually, they don't name him here in the article. This was reported by the Drinks Business. I should say the article I was also citing about the Bordeaux wines in 2050 also was from the Drinks Business. There's one dude who's done this 3 times already. So I'm kind of thinking, here's what I'm thinking, friends, is that really, if he's already done it 3 times and it's supposed to be competitive, that there's a raffle, I'm thinking there's not a lot of people that are entering this raffle. So the dude doesn't have a lot of competition. I'm sure if he wants to go do it 6 times or 9 times or 12 times or any other multiplier of 3 or any other number, I think that he probably would be able to do so. I find that all very interesting. Yes, exotic meat month there in Durham, North Carolina at Bull City Burger and Brewery in Durham. I'm thinking I'm just not going to go there in April. Yeah, There you go. Friends, next week on the show, we got a good show lined up for you. This is one of those rare times where at least I think I know what's going to happen on the show already. Lots of times we don't even know what the heck's going on the show until the day before. But what we're going to be doing, a couple different things. We are going to be interviewing some folks connected to next weekend's New Orleans Crawfish Festival, which is going to be taking place at Central City Barbecue. And I think the plan right now is we're going to be out at Central City Barbecue talking to one of the organizers of the event, maybe a couple other folks. And that's going to be a lot of fun. So we'll do that. And then we are also going to chat with Elizabeth Pierce and Abigail Gulo of Drink and Learn. And they are, Abby's a good friend of mine. She runs a beverage program at Compare La Pan. I know Elizabeth a little bit, not super well. Looking forward to chatting with her more. But they do a podcast together, and we are podcast platform mates, if you will, as part of the National Food and Beverage Foundation podcast platform. And you've heard me talk about this before. Honored to be one of the inaugural three or four shows on that. That just launched about a month ago, and we're part of it. And the Drink and Learn podcast, I believe, is not quite there. Well, they're I think they've recorded a couple episodes, but it's getting put to onto the platform. So maybe by the time we talk to them, it'll be there. But we're going to talk about their podcast, what they do, their backgrounds, interesting people, super knowledgeable about the world of beverages, cocktails, and all that good stuff. So that's the show next week, friends. So there you go. I hope you tune in. Everybody, I hope you have a great weekend. Weather looks good. If you're here in New Orleans, get out and see the Tall Ships thing. That'll be great. So friends, until then, be kind to one another. Use your turn signal. Well, hey, and then again, until then, cheers, y'all.